Oracle Talk, the biweekly podcast from searchoracle.com, all about Oracle database management and application software for DBAs, developers, and managers of Oracle shops. I'm your host, Tim DiChara, editor of searchoracle.com. Today's topic, woe is the DBA. Why are database administrators in such a tizzy about their career choice? And what can they do to improve their lot? We'll also answer some career and certification questions submitted to our experts at searchoracle.com, as well as rounding up the latest news from the Oracle community and beyond. First of all, I'd like to welcome everyone to the inaugural edition of Oracle Talk. Hopefully you'll find it an interesting and informative way to spend your commute or workout time. We have a lot of great content planned over the coming months, so we'll try to make it worth your while to tune in every fortnight. Of course, since this is our first show, I apologize in advance for any technical snafus that may arise. So on to this week's topic, which is database administration as a career, and why you might want to think twice about going down that path, unless you've got the proverbial right stuff. Database administration is a difficult job, we all know that. However, the prevalence of discontent, bitter discontent even, among DBAs seems to be on the rise. The problem is not the technical difficulty of managing dozens or hundreds of Oracle instances, although that's certainly not a walk in the park. The main problem seems to be a lack of recognition and respect, especially for management. In our Eye on Oracle blog last week, I posted a note from a disgruntled Oracle DBA named Stephen, who said this about being a DBA. Quote, "Your boss probably has no idea what you do and probably thinks of you as a necessary evil. The rewards can be minimal. At least a developer can point to something and say, I did that. What can a DBA point to? Looking back, I think being an accountant or a lawyer would have been a better career path. After all, if you have been doing that for 20 years, you get a bit of respect. If you have been in IT for 20 years, you are seen as over the hill and out of date and ready to be replaced by a 16-year-old know-it-all." He concludes, "IT is for suckers." Some harsh words, and I expected most responders in the blog to counter with the positive aspects of being a DBA. Instead, a torrent of complaints was unleashed, with the majority actually in agreement. Here are a few excerpts from the over 60 responses we received. "If I had to do things all over again 25 years hence, I would not even go into IT, let alone database administration, as it can be a completely unappreciated and unrewarding field. Outside of the office, you really can't even talk about your day to anyone, except maybe someone in your field or your dog. First, no one would understand what you're talking about, and second, they really wouldn't give a crap." Another poster wrote, quote, "Taking personal satisfaction in doing something well, getting something done, or struggling through an issue only goes so far. If nobody else recognizes or understands what you had to overcome, what's the point?" And finally, quote, "IT people make a good money for playing with technology, but they get long hours, including evenings and weekends, without compensation or appreciation, no chance of advancement, packed cubicles, and generally decisions, even technical ones, are made by people in other departments, not the ones actually responsible for building, deploying, and maintaining." The comments make for some sad reading, certainly. However, fortunately, toward the end of the rant fest in the blog, some defenders of the DBA profession emerged and offered some sage advice, such as the following. Quote, "You can't be a DBA if you are looking for recognition. There is none. I've heard it said that you know you have a good DBA if you don't even know you have one. To stay in the game, you have to change with it. As the routine functions are automated, you have to develop new, higher-level skills. Today, DBAs must branch into other things like database architecture, storage management, or applications management, like PeopleSoft, SAP, or Oracle apps. I still think it's a great job, and I'd rather be doing this than anything else in IT." Another person said, quote, "Like all things IT-based, not just database administration, there are good and bad places to work. Yes, your boss really does understand what you do, but when the fire trucks roll out of the station and put out the fires, if you know your job and save the day, you do get the recognition. My job satisfaction doesn't come from recognition, but from my own personal knowledge that I am damn good at what I do." Another person wrote, "Frankly, if you are working a lot of 40-hour days, you're not doing your job. While a few weeks of those long days are inevitable every year, the DBA's job is to make everything smoother for everyone, including himself. So the DBA should try and set things up so that those hours aren't necessary. Finally, quote, "If you hate your job so much, get out of the business. Your career is in your control. Find a better company. They're out there. DBA work isn't for everyone. Switch if you don't like it. I've been in IT for 20 years, and I've done everything from development to data modeling to database architecture, and I prefer DBA work the best. I agree. If you're working too much, it's typically your own fault. If you aren't appreciated, then do something to show what you do. If management doesn't see a value to you, then provide them an explanation of what you do and the importance of your job. Take responsibility for yourself and stop whining." You can read the complete collection of complaints and counter-complaints on our blog site, ionoracle.blogs.techtarget.com. As a follow-up to the blog conversation, we posted two articles on searchoracle.com on the topic of database administration as a career. The first one, called A DBA Job Satisfaction Success Story, featured Jeff Bult, director of IT at the staffing firm ProStaff and a former Oracle DBA, who says that being happy as a DBA is simply a matter of knowing how to play the game. When Bolt experienced horrendously long hours as a DBA, it was usually at the start of a new DBA job. Jobs where he often found himself replacing DBAs who left, presumably because of, you guessed it, long hours. So Bolt made it his business to find out what types of problems were causing the long hours and make them go away. He says, quote, "My bachelor's degree was in computer science, so I always kind of applied those principles like Six Sigma, where you look at where your errors are coming from and fix them. Pretty much everywhere I went over the years, I was taking what was probably a long, tedious job and changing that over the first 3 to 6 months. So being a problem solver can make a DBA feel good, even if everyone's pointing fingers at him. Bolt says that, quote, "People may come to you and say, hey, payroll is running an extra hour. Why is that happening? If you can take that and fix it and make it quicker, you look like a hero. And that's the kind of stuff that I've always liked about being a DBA." What's more, he said, DBAs who fix problems will ultimately foster better relationships with developers and managers, even in a culture of finger-pointing. One way Bolt tries to foster better relationships in his role of IT director is by having people in different groups spend time together. He says, "We do a lot of team exercises where we'll have the developers go out to lunch with the DBAs." Some good straightforward advice. Another related article that we posted last week had more detailed suggestions. The article is called DBA 102, Beyond the Basics, by Michael Hillenbrand, who is an Oracle DBA, who is now a manager at the outsourcing firm Access Enterprise Solutions. He writes, quote, "With the constant pressure to reduce IT costs, DBA can no longer afford to be viewed as cost center overhead. Instead, DBAs must strive to be recognized and prove their value to the organization. He says that you need to step out of the traditional DBA role, go beyond the basic database administration tasks, and prove yourself as an invaluable corporate asset. For example, analysts and experts agree that the future role of the DBA will be less focused on traditional maintenance tasks like backups, tuning, space management, patching, etc., and more focused on specialty areas like compliance, applications, business intelligence, high availability, virtualization, and best practice frameworks like ITIL version 3 or ISO 2000. If you want to succeed as a DBA, you must go beyond the administration basics and strive to learn one or more of these specialty areas. The key is to be proactive and not wait until it's too late. So-called soft skills are also of great importance for what lies ahead for the future DBA. You need to master communication skills, problem-solving skills, people skills, and time management skills. Finally, Hillenbrand discusses how to effectively deal with management. First, he has some tough love. Quote, "If you feel your manager does not understand you, chances are you need to look no further than a mirror to place blame. In other words, if your manager does not understand you or the importance of your role, then you, and only you, need to change this. When was the last time you actually communicated with your boss? Do you provide weekly or even daily status reports? Do you explain difficult terms in easily understandable language? Do you provide charts and graphs showing how the databases are performing? Can you speak intelligently about the financial or business impact of downtime or poor performance? If not, you should. Hillenbrand goes into more detail about these points in the article, but he sums up by saying this to what he terms bitter and self-pitying DBAs. Quote, sharpen your technical and soft skills, expand your knowledge into new areas, and learn how to deal with management. Embrace change instead of resisting it. If you follow the guidelines presented here and take responsibility for your own future, you will soon reap the rewards and become the invaluable and respected employee that most of us want to be. So chins up, DBAs, and good luck with improving your job situation. Next up, a roundup of recent Oracle news.
Hi, everybody. This is SearchOracle.com news editor Mark Brunelli, and I'm here to brief you on some of the big Oracle-related stories we've been covering over the last month or so. You know, a lot's been going on in the world of Oracle and on SearchOracle.com, and if I can just get in a shameless plug before we start, all the stories I'm going to talk about can be found by pointing your browsers to www.searchoracle.com/news. So let's get started. The first story I wanted to talk about was called Oracle Unveils BI Suite for Small Companies. And of course, BI stands for Business Intelligence or Analytical Software. And we published this story on June 25th. Basically, Oracle unveiled a new BI suite for smaller organizations of up to 50 people. They say it's also available for departments of larger organizations, so long as the users don't exceed 50. And Oracle points out that if you need to grow beyond that level of 50, they can point you toward their Enterprise Edition BI suite. And that's basically what the suite is. It's a slimmed down version of their Enterprise BI suite. And according to Oracle, it adds a slimmed down version of Oracle's flagship database 10G, as well as some data warehousing capabilities. So, you know, all the analysts I talk to tell me that SMBs are really the holy grail for these large software vendors like Oracle and Microsoft. And of course, Microsoft is pretty much known to have the upper hand with SMBs because they sell what's largely considered to be, you know, easy to use and somewhat cheaper software. But I think you can expect to see a whole lot more SMB related news coming from the likes of Oracle and SAP in the coming months. It's just a huge market, and according to the analysts I talk to, they're more and more interested in things like analytics and sophisticated BI software. Okay, moving on. Talk about a story we published last week called Data Breach Concerns Running Rampant, Survey Finds. Basically, it was a survey conducted by the Traverse City, Michigan-based Poneman Institute, and I should point out the study was sponsored by Oracle and conducted by this Poneman Institute. And they looked at the data privacy and data protection concerns of 1,000 IT security workers and compliance professionals. I listened to a webcast with Larry Poneman, the chairman and founder of the Poneman Institute, and he said that among the survey's findings, 42% of respondents said they believe their organizations are doing a poor job of curbing the risk of loss or theft of confidential information. Meanwhile, 45% said they would be unable to identify and notify the users or customers affected by any potential data breach. So people are really concerned about this. I should point out, I liked writing this story because it gave me a chance to email with Peter Finnegan, who runs an Oracle security weblog, and I ran the findings by him, and he was quick to point out that the findings sort of point to Oracle's new products, Audit Vault and Database Vault. So according to him, it's no wonder that they sponsored the survey. But, you know, just because Oracle sponsored it doesn't necessarily mean that the findings were wrong. It's just something worth pointing out. I mean, Larry Poneman, during the webcast, said that survey was conducted independently. But, you know, most people agreed with the findings and some pretty interesting stuff, especially given the fact that data breaches are happening more and more often. Moving on, virtualization means changing roles for DBAs. This was a really interesting story to write. Basically, I talked to some analysts, and we published a story on June 15th. I talked to analyst Tony Iams of Ideas International in Port Chester, New York, and he's a longtime source of mine, and he really knows his stuff. And basically, he said that there's new processor technology coming out from AMD and Intel in about a year and a half to 2 years that will make the process of virtualizing database workloads a much easier process than it has been in the past. But in the meantime, more and more companies are considering virtualization and maybe asking DBAs to answer some fairly tough questions. And if you're working on an x86 platform, IAM says the key is really to understand the behavior of your database over time. I'll just read you a quote. "You may have database services that are lightly trafficked, that don't have very demanding workloads, and then there's no reason why you shouldn't use virtualization to consolidate those if you want to get better use out of your hardware. It's just that you have to understand the behavior of those workloads over time in as much detail as possible. That means understanding how many resources they require in terms of CPU, memory, I/O, and really understanding how demanding those applications are. Then you can make an informed decision about whether it's appropriate to virtualize." Moving on here, we had a story last week, Oracle updates Microsoft developer tools. And these stories are always popular on the site with the developer crowd. There's apparently a lot of interest in how to get Oracle and Microsoft to work better together, and that's what Oracle says these tools do. Oracle executives said the newly unveiled beta versions of Oracle Data Provider for .NET, Oracle Developer Tools for Visual Studio .NET, were created to help increase the productivity of Microsoft developers running Oracle, and in general to make it easier for developers to use the two technologies in conjunction with one another. Here was an interesting story on our sister site, searchsap.com, by news editor John Franke, published also on 14 June 2007, and said that after a down period, ERP innovation is back, and it's being led by a couple of industry giants, SAP and Microsoft. The story goes on to basically say that despite all the consolidation that's taking place in the ERP market, Microsoft and SAP are doing a good job of innovating their products. Microsoft, it says, has focused on enhancing its solutions, especially on the usability front. SAP has taken an acquisition approach, and the companies it purchased seem to fit well with its ERP strategy. Didn't hear much from Oracle there. Apparently, they're just mired in such a big acquisition strategy that their ERP innovation just isn't as good. Late last month and beginning of June, we published a special report, Oracle Customers Sound Off. And these are four stories I put together based on a SearchOracle.com survey of 683 IT professionals who have a say in the decision-making process at their organizations. And their organizations were all sizes. And admittedly, it wasn't the most scientific survey of all time, but we definitely identified some interesting discussion points or jump-off points for news articles. And just to run down those, we did a story called Oracle versus SAP, the SOA factor. And the survey found that SOA is a major priority for companies these days, or at least they're in the planning stages. They're thinking about implementing service-oriented architecture. So we talked to a leading SOA analyst, Jason Bloomberg, and he basically said that SAP is doing a better job than Oracle in terms of SOA, but IBM is doing way better than them both. So as Oracle's Fusion plans come together, and Fusion is Oracle's plan to put all its acquisitions under one SOA-enabled umbrella, as that comes to fruition, Oracle may get better at SOA, according to Bloomberg. Is Oracle technology too darn expensive? A lot of people think so. A significant portion of the survey respondents said that they would at least consider switching to lower-cost alternatives to Oracle. And so we gave users an opportunity to sound off about whether or not Oracle is too expensive, and they sure did. One person I interviewed for that story said that he wouldn't mind paying so much if the support was better. Here's a quote. "Oracle is trying to give you the quick answer and they're trying to close the contact as quick as they can," he said. "They don't seem to really listen to what the problem is." That quote came from Rob Guest, a senior database analyst with British Columbia Institute of Technology, which is a Canadian polytechnic school. "Oracle upgrades require careful planning." This was another story we did, and we just talked about we gave some advice for upgrading Oracle applications, and we talked to experts about that, and one of the big pieces of advice that came out of it was you really have to pay attention to your customizations. So if you customize software, you really want to take good inventory of it, according to experts, because when it comes time to upgrade, you're going to need to know where they are, because things may not be working right. SAP beats Oracle in Jefferson County. This story came up just talking to some of the people who responded to the survey. I came across this fella who works for the government of Jefferson County, Alabama, and his name is David Shockey, and he told me a great story about why Jefferson County decided to stay with Oracle on the database side, but go with SAP on the business application side. One of the reasons they gave was because they said Oracle came in and did the Jefferson County school system years ago, and it didn't go well. So a lot of people remember that, and they decided not to go with Oracle on the business applications front. Well, that pretty much wraps up the big news of the last month or so. And as I said, you can get any of these stories anytime you want by going to searchoracle.com/news. This is searchoracle.com news editor Mark Brunelli signing off.
Thanks, Mark. One of the most popular sections of searchoracle.com is our Ask the Expert feature. In keeping with this week's theme, I'd like to read our expert's answers to three career-related questions submitted by readers. First, simply put, why should I get certified? Author Craig Mullins offers this advice, quote, "The concept behind DBA certification is to certify that an individual is capable of performing database administration tasks and duties. This is a noble goal, but the problem is that passing a test is not a viable indicator of being able to perform a complex job like database administration. Some things you just have to learn by doing. Now, I'm not saying that certification is useless. Indeed, taking the test and focusing on the questions you miss can help to point out areas of weakness upon which you can improve. But does anyone really believe that someone passing a formalized test will be as capable as someone with several years of experience as a DBA? Organizations should hire DBAs based on past experience that indicates a level of capability. Of course, someone with both experience and certification is better than someone with only one of the two." Our expert Brian Peasland, who is a certified Oracle DBA, received a similar question. What other certifications will increase my market value? Brian responds that, quote, "Many shops use multiple database management systems, with Oracle, SQL Server, and MySQL being in fashion these days. There are other flavors like DB2, Sybase, PostgreSQL, etc. Obtaining certifications in those other platforms can be a boost to those potential employers that have multiple DBMS platforms to work with. Another good certification is something Java-related. Lots of shops are using Java, and Java certifications are in demand right now. Other than that, take a look at what the market is currently looking for. Go to dice.com or monster.com and see what skill sets employers are looking for. Gear your certifications toward the market. Finally, when you land an interview for a DBA job, be prepared. Brian Peasland has interviewed junior DBAs, and this is what he has to say. Quote, "One of the things I do is to ask the candidate to provide step-by-step examples of how to do something. For instance, I sat in an interview once where other DBAs asked the candidate what type of backups they had done on their systems. The candidate replied, 'Hot backups.' The other DBAs were satisfied with this answer, but I sensed that the candidate was not completely honest with their experience level. So I asked the candidate to describe the exact steps his backup script performed. He didn't need to be completely accurate. But I quickly found out that this candidate had no clue what major steps needed to be taken to perform a hot backup in an Oracle database. So be prepared to provide examples of how you do things in addition to what things you have done." We have a ton of other scripts and expert advice about finding and keeping an Oracle-related job, including our new Lessons Learned series posted last week on the site. So do a search on searchoracle.com and you will be amply rewarded. Well, that wraps up Oracle Talk for this week. In future episodes, we'll be focusing on topics such as the impending release of Database 11g, Oracle Security, Oracle versus SAP, and surviving the patching and upgrading treadmill. We'll also be recording interviews with Oracle gurus, authors, and thought leaders, so be sure to stay tuned. On behalf of everyone here at searchoracle.com, thanks for joining us.